Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? For old lang syne.
Welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you had a fun holiday season. And I hope you're ready for a whole new year of Rod Talk. And this year, you know, I'd really like to know what you would like to talk about as we try and get things organized for the year 2007. I don't just want it to be shows that I pick, but because, you know, I'm interested in a lot of stuff, but I'd really like to know what you're interested in. So if you have a suggestion for Raw Talk, please send your suggestions to studio@m88.org. That's our email address at the M88 studios. You can send those in. Let us know what you want to talk about. I've already had several emails come in. And already followed up on one of those emails for next week's program as we talk a little bit about the function of the church, being seeker-friendly or teaching the Bible or being marketplace-friendly, so on and so forth. And so we'll get into that next week because that's what one person wanted to talk about. So what do you want to talk about for Raw Talk here in the year 2007? Please let me know. Well, that's the phone number, 505-338-5790 is the phone number for tonight. You can drop your email suggestions for topics at studio@m88.org, and you can also leave them at our MySpace page, which is, myspace.com/m88radio. I'm not MySpace savvy, but apparently a lot of people are there, like, I don't know, a few hundred million or something. Half the planet are logged onto MySpace. So you can drop your suggestions there as well. And love to know what you want to talk about for Raw Talk here in the year 2007. Do have some interesting shows planned for the year. We're going to tackle homosexuality in February. We'll tackle, you know, regular relationships, the importance of having a strong basis for a marriage relationship this year. We'll discuss Catholicism and the Protestant Church as well. We'll dive into that later on this year, and later on this month we're even going to talk about faith and humor. Why are Christians not funny is something that we want to dive into. So got a lot of stuff planned for this year, and if you'd like to get your two cents in as so far as what we should discuss, just drop us an email, studio@m88.org. Well, here it is, a brand new year. I'd like to start off by saying my condolences to those of you who had a rough weekend football wise. I know my producer Steve Madrid had kind of a rough time. Steve, I'm sorry. You know, you can talk to me. That's fine. Well, you also got to wear your gear, you know. I didn't ever see you wear New York Giants gear. Well, again, condolences to everyone who had their teams disappear in the playoffs. It's some amazing games this weekend. Today, though, we're not talking about playoffs, although it is playoffs weekend. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of New Year's resolutions, what the Bible has to say about New Year's resolutions, what you have to say about New Year's resolutions. So feel free to give us a call, 505-338-5790, as we talk about New Year's resolutions and whether or not we should make those resolutions or if we keep those resolutions. I know some people make resolutions and don't keep them. And so we'll discuss that throughout the evening tonight. And actually, we got someone on the line here. Let's go ahead and see who's up. Hi, welcome to Raw Talk. Who's this? Hey, what was your name?
Lisa.
Lisa, how you doing?
Fine, how about you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Oh, I was just telling you that right now John MacArthur's on, and it keeps interrupting his teachings, the people that are talking about their resolution or their New Year's resolutions.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that with us, all right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll take care of that. And then we'll move on and talk more about New Year's resolutions here on Raw Talk. And if you have something that you'd like to share, give us a call, 505-338-5790. This was kind of interesting. Steve Madrid gave this to me, starting off the new year. A guy in Tennessee wanted to start off the New Year's right, and so he turned himself into police to keep a New Year's resolution. Apparently, he said he wanted to start 2007 with a clean slate. Now, I don't know if you have to quite go that extreme with your New Year's resolutions, but, you know, hey, kudos to him for wanting to have a clear conscience. But that's pretty representative of what everyone wants to do with a New Year's resolution. They want to start off with a clean slate. And, again, you don't necessarily have to turn yourself into the police for that. But I think that's what a lot of people kind of aim for when it comes to New Year's resolution. Oh, it's a brand new year. This is good. I can get past all the mistakes that I've made and start fresh and start new, so on and so forth. And we all want to start with a clean slate. But what I want to know is do we have to make New Year's resolutions? Is the only time that we can do that around the new year? Let me know what you think about New Year's resolutions. 505-338-5790. Steve Madrid, do you make New Year's resolutions? Do you do that on a yearly basis?
You know what? I decided not to make New Year's resolutions.
Really?
And I'm not sure why. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, I can either make a really good New Year's resolution, but then, you know, I don't know if I can handle the failure if I don't, like, come through with it, you know? You know, if I say, okay, well, I'm gonna go to the gym every single day in 2007, and then, you know, comes March, April, May, maybe stop going. I was kind of analyzing and see why I didn't make New Year's resolutions. And maybe that's why, but I'm still thinking about it. I'm still trying to figure out why I haven't made any yet. But I think my New Year's resolution, number one, to wear more football Giants gear.
Well, it's too late to do that now. They're out of the playoffs, so you can save that for
But they'll
season.
Be in the playoffs in 2007 at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Kind of. It'll almost be ready. And to spend less time on MySpace.
That's a New Year's resolution, is spend less time on MySpace.
I think that should be for me and a lot of other people.
Do you think you're going to be able to keep that one?
Well, see, the thing is, this is how it works. Since I don't know how much time I spent in 2006, then I don't really have anything to compare it with. So I don't know if I'm spending less time or not.
I see. Well, that's an interesting quandary that you'll have to face there. You know, it's kind of interesting you bring up the thing about going to the gym. I knew a guy who was an owner of a gym. And he really strongly disliked the months of January and February, which I thought was kind of odd. So only those 2 months, what's the big deal? It's like, well, you know, people make their New Year's resolutions. Oh, okay, well, isn't that good? You have more people in the gym. And he said, no, it's not good, because it's more people in the gym who aren't really committed to being in the gym. You know, it's all these people who flood in, and they're, oh, yeah, I'm getting fit this year. And he says, you know, they're not there. They're not there for a serious reason. They're just there to try and, you know, keep some vague promise to themselves. And he really prefers it after February. Apparently, it tapers off. And then you really have the people who are dedicated to getting fit who are in the gym. So every January and February, he really dislikes those 2 months because you have all these would-be fitness people who give up really quick. And like, yeah, you know what? It's not worth it. And it seems that a lot of people have that attitude towards resolutions, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also some people think that sitting in the hot tub and the spa counts as working out. And that doesn't really count as working out.
505-338-5790 if you want to join in on our conversation about New Year's resolutions. Have you made any New Year's resolutions? If so, do you plan on keeping it? If you don't, why don't you make New Year's resolutions? I'm really curious to hear people's reasonings for not making New Year's resolutions, and I'll share mine here in just a little bit. This was kind of interesting. The top 10 resolutions that most people make over the year, every year. That's the other thing. A lot of people make the same resolution every year. Doesn't it seem kind of odd that they would make the same resolution every year? They're not making any progress.
Well, if they made it the first time and they couldn't do it, then they made it the second time and they couldn't do it, maybe they thought maybe third time's a charm.
Well, you know, I've often heard that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
That's the definition.
Resolutions might be a good barometer of your level of insanity. Number 10 on the top 10 list of things that people resolve every year, get organized. I know I could do that one. I could use help with that. Help others. That's a good New Year's resolution. Number 8, learn something new. If you were to learn something new this year, Steve Madrid, what would it be?
I don't know. Come back to me on that one.
Okay. Number 7, get out of debt. There's another good one. Number 6, quit drinking. Number 5, enjoy life more. Seems kind of vague. Give me one way you could enjoy life more.
Spending more time with the family?
No. That's not on the list. Give me another one.
A way to enjoy life
more?
Do
you have a family? You're not married or anything?
No, I'm not married. Spend time with family members. How
family
about that?
Members. That'd be good. Your family members here at work?
Yeah. I love you guys like a family.
I know. Number 4, quit smoking. Number 3, tame the bulge. 66% of people do this on a yearly basis. Number 2, fit in fitness. Make time for regular exercise, which is what Madrid was pondering doing. And the number 1 resolution, to spend more time with family and friends, which I find kind of odd to be the number 1 resolution.
Really?
On a repeated basis, year after year, that's the one thing that people resolve to do more of. Well, if they were resolving to do more of and they were keeping it, it wouldn't have to be the number 1 resolution because they'd be keeping it.
Exactly. So I'm surprised that driving slower isn't on there somewhere.
That's not anything that people want to resolve to do.
Well, you know, with those cameras, you know, around town taking pictures of everybody, I'd figure people want to start driving a little slower. But
those seem to be having somewhat of an effect. But going back to the family thing, you know, people resolve to do that every year. It just brings me back to my original point about New Year's resolutions. It seems like a cop-out for failure. Because here's the thing. When you make a New Year's resolution, how many people actually expect you to keep it? You know, New Year's resolutions have become a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just a big joke. People are like, hey, I'm going to resolve to blah, blah, blah. And everyone laughs. Ha, that's a good one. Yeah. But no one really expects anyone to keep their New Year's resolutions anymore. I mean, it's just something that we say. It sounds good. It sounds like, oh, I like that person. They want to better themselves. Listen to their New Year's resolutions. They're a good person. I should hang around with them more. But are they really going to keep them? I don't know how many people actually keep their New Year's resolutions once they've made them. I'm sure there's some who do. I'm painting with a broad brush here. I know there's people who keep their resolutions, but for the most part, it just seems like a cop-out for failure. I'll make a resolution. Yay! And then, like you pointed out, you know, sooner or later, you're kind of like, well, you know, other stuff has come up, so I'll just resolve to do that again next year.
Maybe we're just peer pressured into making resolutions.
Peer pressured into making
resolutions. Someone says, hey, you know, what's your resolution? You're like, whoa, well, you know, I don't really have one. What do you mean? You don't have a New Year's resolution? What's wrong with you? And then you go home and think of a New Year's resolution and make one just because someone pressured you into it.
See, I faced that and I've turned out okay. You don't have a New Year's resolution? No. Aren't you going to make one? No. Don't you want to better yourself? Not really. I think everyone else should improve themselves. I'm just fine the way I am. I know it seems kind of a short-sighted view to take, but I actually learned that from Calvin and Hobbes. I always like how in Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin had a great view of New Year's resolutions. You know, why should I improve myself? Everyone else needs to improve themselves, and I'll just stay the same. Because, you know, New Year's resolutions are often very difficult to actually keep. 505-338-5790 if you want to add your opinion to the mix on New Year's resolutions. Have you made any? Have you ever kept any? Should we even bother making New Year's resolutions? Let us know what you think about that. 505-338-5790 if you want to join us here on Raw Talk and share your thoughts on New Year's resolutions. And just let us know what you think about this. And what I want to do later on here is get into, you know, what the Bible has to say about New Year's resolutions. And we'll see, you know, a lot of people are like, what, the Bible has anything to say about New Year's resolutions? Well, not in those exact words, but it might be interesting to see what it has to say. Taking a look at the history of New Year's resolutions, depending on where you examine, you know, do your study, some people say that the New Year's resolutions go back to 153 B.C., it's connected to some mythical king of Rome. He had two faces. He could look forward and he could look back. And that was an ancient symbol for resolutions. And So some people trace it back to the Romans. Other people trace back the origins of New Year's resolutions all the way back to the Babylonians about 4,000 years ago. So this whole concept of New Year's resolutions has stuck around for some time. It's nothing new. And we'll examine more of the history here in just a moment. Melissa's on the line. Melissa, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hey.
Hey.
Well, I had never really thought about New Year's resolutions before.
Uh-huh.
But then my mom was kind of telling me about it, and she was kind of thinking about it for the first time, too. And someone had told her, like, it's really probably not such a bad idea to just kind of set a goal for yourself for the year. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of it kind of, like, as a goal before.
Right.
And then, like, when you were talking about how, you know, who really sees if you keep it or not.
Right.
It kind of got me thinking about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it really probably could even be a chance to, like, I don't know, tell someone about a goal that you have for yourself that you want to improve for the year, and then, like, help each other, like, be accountable for it. It could actually be kind of cool.
It could be very, very, very cool. Have you decided if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, Melissa?
Not really. My mom suggested I should do it. I should make one to get to bed on time.
Parents always seem to have things that they would like their kids to resolve to do. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, we can still learn from our parents' wisdom every now and then. But my parents always had plenty of, hey, you know what you should resolve to do? What, Mom? What, Dad? Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, I'll follow up on that. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Melissa. New Year's resolutions, good opportunity for accountability. I think you definitely touched on something there. Do you have someone that you'd feel comfortable to be accountable with if you were to make a New Year's resolution?
Well, probably even just my mom, because she was telling me about it and stuff. That'd probably be pretty cool just to say, yeah, I think I will. And we could kind of, I could tell her about it and stuff.
That would be very cool. Well, I hope you know think it over and make your decision, and I hope you really enjoy your new year, Melissa.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it.
All right, cool. Have a great night.
All right, you too, Melissa.
Bye.
Bye. So there you go. New Year's resolution, good opportunity for accountability, and it's certainly something we could all use. And you know what? It seems to be something that people are lacking, considering that resolutions are such a joke. Yeah, you won't keep that. Instead of, you know, ridiculing each other and saying, oh, you'll never keep that, we could probably, I don't know, be encouraging and say, hey, I'll help you do that. But you don't hear a lot of that. And this is all, again, you know, just very broad stuff. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to add your two cents to the New Year's resolution discussion. Do you make them? Why? Do you not make them? Why? And John, just dive right in. Join the conversation at 505-338-5790. Going back to the history of New Year's resolutions, like I said, you can trace it back either to Rome or to the ancient Babylonians. Interesting thing is, for both of those origins, for the most part, pagan origins, once again, for a holiday that we all celebrate. The church came along and, you know, of course, they're very disapproving of pagan celebrations. But as we talked about during our Christmas program, one of the things the early church did quite a lot of was if you can't beat them, join them. And eventually the church, despite its condemnation early on, eventually found ways to make New Year's a part of the Christian calendar, to make it something that people could participate in. They had certain feasts during that time of year, and it's something that generally became accepted in the church. Church as well. And a lot of people see New Year's as a way to, once again, help relate Christ to people. There's a lot of things that you can do with the new year to help witness to people. You know, the whole idea of a clean slate. God gives us a clean slate when we come to Him through Jesus Christ. And what better time to do that than at the beginning of a new year? Make a resolution to follow Jesus Christ. And that's one that you should actually follow through on. And so the church found ways to make New Year's a part of what it celebrates as well. And of course, no one ever thinks about much about it anymore today. It's just something that we all do, tradition that we all celebrate without probably knowing a whole lot about its roots. I know I didn't know a whole lot about the roots of New Year's before I looked through some of this stuff. Did you know where New Year's came from, Steve Madrid?
No.
No? Did you care?
Yeah, I actually do care.
Well, good. I'm glad you care now, but did you care before? Did you ever think about it?
Once, no, I didn't. I thought maybe once. I thought about it once in a while, but then I realized, no,
no,
I don't.
Not so much. Well, you know, I think that's the way it is with a lot of traditions. We just do them without even really thinking about them. This was kind of interesting. You know how the baby is a symbol of the new year, right?
Oh, yeah, I read something about that.
That began in Greece about 600 BC. And again, it was kind of interesting. What the Greeks would do is they would parade a baby around in a basket, representing the rebirth of this god, so on and so forth, with their, you know, pantheon of gods. And again, something that the church frowned upon, but then they saw, well, again, here's an opportunity. You know, the baby doesn't necessarily have to represent some pagan god. It could represent the baby Jesus. And again, Jesus represents the opportunity for all of us to have a new start, a clean slate. And so they found a way to even incorporate that into a part of the church's celebration of the new year. And so that's where the baby came from, if you've ever been curious about the whole baby thing for New Year's every year. So far as who really got this whole resolution thing going, some people trace it back to a much more modern era, back in 1752. Jonathan Edwards, some of you might know him as a popular preacher a while back. At least he's well known if you've done some church study. And he became famous for making a list of resolutions that a lot of people have admired ever since he wrote them down. Among those resolutions, he said, quote, "Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, so constantly and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same." And a lot of people have admired his resolve to get into God's Word. And I think a lot of Christians might trace back their desire to do New Year's resolutions back to Jonathan Edwards back in 1752. That's a really good New Year's resolution. I'll talk a little bit more about making those types of resolutions here in just a little bit. If you'd like to dive in on the conversation, 505-338-5790. What do you think about New Year's resolutions? Should Christians make New Year's resolutions? Is it even necessary for us to make New Year's resolutions? Do you make them? If you do, why? If you don't, why not? Join in and let us know what you think about New Year's resolutions. 505-338-5790. If you have something that you'd like to add or ask, that's what Raw Talk is all about. All right, Madrid, here's my take on New Year's resolution.
All right.
I said I was going to, you know, share my opinion on it. I personally, not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. And I've already mentioned some of the reasons. It just seems like a cop-out for failure. No one really expects to do them anywhere. Anyway, and I'm not a big fan of the next year syndrome. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll explain it to you. The next year syndrome, where you make a New Year's resolution. Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to do that. And then you get distracted and, you know, it kind of falls through. And then what's most people's attitude? Well, I didn't make it. No, I'll just do it next year. You know, and it seems to me that a lot of people just have a whole next year syndrome. Mm. You know, we don't really like to change. Let's be honest here, okay? New Year's resolutions are all about change. Anyone here a big fan of change? You know, change isn't always fun. Change is often very difficult. Change is often challenging. Change can sometimes be extremely painful. It's just not something that we enjoy doing. Change is not something that you see a lot of people, some people, but not a lot of people, actively pursuing. We like things to be familiar because familiar is comfortable. Change is uncomfortable. And so, you know, when it comes to New Year's resolution, sure, like you said, we might feel a little peer pressure. Oh, well, everyone's making new resolutions. I should make one too. So we do that. But, you know, it's so uncomfortable to really make a firm commitment to change anything. But no one expects me to really keep a resolution. And if I fail, I can always do it again next year. Well, here's the thing with the whole next year syndrome, something that was we had a graphic reminder of why that's a bad idea early last week. If you're a Broncos fan, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you're a sports fan, you probably do. Last week, the Denver Broncos didn't make it into the playoffs. And they had a game against San Francisco. Heartbreaker. They lost. And, you know, generally, if you have a favorite sports team, if your team loses, doesn't make the playoffs, well, then you're thinking, well, you know, there's always next season. Again, very similar to the next year syndrome. And in this particular case, just a few hours after the game happened, this happened on New Year's Eve, and some of the Broncos were out celebrating a friend of theirs' birthday and out on New Year's Eve. Well, as they were driving away from a club where they had been celebrating, there was a drive-by shooting, and one of the Denver Bronco players was killed. And for him, he has no more next season. This season was it for him. He doesn't have a next year. This year was it for him. And for me, that was a big reminder why I don't want to give in to the next year, the next season syndrome. Because who really knows if we're going to have a next year or a next season? Now, I don't know if this player knew the Lord. I know that he was a guy who had some hard times in his life, but was getting things turned around, was making an effort to improve his life. And, you know, he was doing something positive. Again, I don't know if he was thinking constantly ahead. You know, when you're his age, I mean, he was 24. He's playing on a professional sports team. At that age, when you're playing professional sports, you probably feel invincible. You always think that you're going to have a next season, a next year. And I'm sure it never occurred to him that the next few hours could be his last. Well, the simple fact is, we just don't know how much time we have. And I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm just trying to be realistic. So my attitude has always been, well, you know, New Year's resolutions might be a good thing to do, to make a resolution to change something every year. But considering that we don't know if we're even going to have a tomorrow, perhaps what we should do is think about what we can resolve to change today. And we'll discuss that a little bit more. We have Melanie on the line. Melanie, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Well, I just had, I was listening to what you're saying about, like, there may not be, like, a next year.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me think, like, New Year's resolutions can sometimes be, like, what we make our walk with God. Because, like, sometimes we think, well, I'm gonna really do my devotion this week, or I'm gonna pray more, or, you know, like, just throughout the year, and sometimes we just don't carry those through and just think there's not enough time, and I have all these other things going on, like, sometimes we don't make time for our New Year's resolutions, and just that, like, the rapture could be coming, you know, just like a new year couldn't be coming, and so it's like time is running out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and, you know, that's why I don't like personally making New Year's resolutions, because it always seems such a vague concept, and then, you know, if I don't do it, I'll always do it next year. And giving into that next year kind of attitude can make it very hard for change to ever take place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for sharing your thought here with us on Raw Talk. Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
No, I haven't.
Any particular reason why you haven't?
Just because of, like, what you're saying. It's just, like, if I do, I'm probably going to break it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just going into this new semester of school, I would like to stand more for Christ, though, and make sure that I'm just, like, not going with the crowd. So if I did have one, that'd probably be it.
Well, let me just encourage you by asking you this question. If that is a goal that you'd like to achieve this year, have you thought of any really specific ways that you can attain that goal? Because I've often found that when it comes to resolutions, we make some vague, goal. I'm going to do this, but we don't really think through how we're going to accomplish that. Have you had any thoughts on how you would accomplish that goal?
Well, it's been really nice because I have this friend at school who is also a Christian, and it's been really nice for her to have her as a friend there, because she's been, like, such a great accountability partner for me. So I think that if we both go on it together, you know, that if we're both working as a light for Christ and we're both being accountability partners to each other, then it would help so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a constant reminder, because she's with me at school, and also me and my sister started a Bible club at school, and just that's really nice too, because knowing the Christians that are around you and going through the same things you are, and being in a non-Christian and non-Christ environment and just staying strong together, I think that's what's going to help me the most in that.
Well, good. I'm glad you have a goal and also a way to accomplish that goal. I wish you a very happy new year, Melanie.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a shway night.
Definitely. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. And if you'd like to share your opinion as well, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to dive in on our conversation of New Year's resolutions, we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and talk more about New Year's resolutions, why they might be a good idea, why they might be a bad idea, and what God's Word has to say about this whole concept of New Year's resolutions. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to join us here on Raw Talk on M88.
There's a story of an old missionary couple who had been working in Africa for years and were returning to New York City to retire. No pension, broken in health, very discouraged, and fearful for the future. They happened to be booked on the same ship as the president, who was returning from a huge hunting expedition. At the dock in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. People were cheering, but the missionary couple slipped off the ship unnoticed. That night, in a cheap flat they found on the Upper East Side, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this anymore. God is not treating us fairly." His wife suggested that he go in the bedroom and pray. A short time later, he came out of the bedroom with his face completely changed. His wife asked what happened. He said, "I went in there and I was just completely honest with God. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming from vacation, and we've been working in Africa for years and no one was here when we got home. And when I finished, it seemed like God put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" What kind of homecoming does Christ promise to those who belong to him? Check out the Get Some Life section at m88.org.
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of another real-life Jesus freak. The year is 1550, and King Edward is now permitting the Bible to be read aloud in English instead of only Latin. This delights Joan Waste, who, although born blind, is eager to know God's word. She learns to knit, saving every penny to buy her own Bible. But when Queen Mary takes the throne, new laws make it illegal to even own a Bible. Joan is arrested for heresy, but tells her persecutors, "I cannot forsake the truth." And on August the 1st, 1556, Joan Waste is burned at the stake merely for owning a Bible, something you and I take for granted.
Will you take a stand? Go to JesusFreaks.net.
Welcome back to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. First Raw Talk of 2007. So it seems only appropriate that we would talk about New Year's resolutions, and we'll dive back into that conversation here in just a moment. First, I want to remind you, if you have something that you'd like to talk about on Raw Talk, just drop us an email, studio@m88.org. We'll be taking your suggestions throughout the month of January, and you can help plan out the 2007 calendar for Raw Talk with the things that you'd like to discuss, the things that you'd like to learn about, the things that you want to talk about. Drop your email, studio@m88.org, with your Raw Talk topics for 2007. And today, like I said, since it's the first Raw Talk of the new year, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. We have Tara on the line. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hello. I just think the New Year's resolutions are absolutely silly. Because if you have a goal, if you want to do something, why wait till the new year? If I want to do something for Christ, or, I don't know, get in shape, eat better, blah, 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 I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do it right away.
I think that's an excellent point. It goes back to what I was saying, you know, that whole next year syndrome. We like to put things off instead of doing them right away, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't make New Year's resolutions, Tara?
No, I try to do it daily, like spend time with God, pray, read the Bible, go to Bible studies, go to church, those sorts of things.
Now, what about making a plan for the year? I mean, you know, let's change the semantics there. You're not necessarily making a resolution for the year, but you're setting a plan for the year. How would you go about doing that in a way that you think would, where you could do that on a daily basis and yet have like a year-long goal?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get involved in some sort of Christian group, you know, Samaritan's Purse, the Community Health Evangelism, Joy Junction, Calvary Outreach, or perhaps if you're thinking of quitting your job, finding a Christian organization you can work with. You can do all sorts of things, but in considering everything, I always try to put Christ first.
Well, that seems like a good thing to do.
Glorify him, like when I make choices. Okay, is this going to glorify God? Is it helpful to others? Is it helpful to myself? You know.
I like that. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us, Tara. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your opinion on this.
Okay,
God bless you guys.
All right. God bless you, too. Have a happy new year.
You too.
Bye. All right. And next up, we have Joanne on the line. Joanne, welcome to Raw Talk. I've often been confused for you.
Thank you.
Because, you know, my name's Johan, and so they'd call me Joanne, and I'd get upset because, you know, I'm not Joanne. I mean, but that's an emotional scar that we won't explore right now. Joanne, what do you have to say about New Year's resolutions?
Well, I was going to say that for a long time, I completely avoided the whole idea of resolutions. Kind of like the last caller said, I thought it was absolutely silly. And then toward the end of 06, I was asked a question by a friend of mine, and it came to me in a new light that I think I was, by putting it off altogether, I was avoiding a helpful aspect of it, which is setting goals. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent, and I'm always telling my kids if we set short-term goals or long-term goals, it helps us to achieve toward our goal. Just as Paul says, we, you know, look toward the prize that is before us. That means we might win the race. And I think how I started thinking about it this year was not so much as a resolution per se, but what do I want my goals for the next year to be, and not setting myself up in that way of being disappointed because I know I'm going to fail, but knowing that this is a goal, and even if I stumble along the way, that's all right. I can just get back up, and I don't have to put it off for the next year.
Right.
Because it's a goal that I have for this year, and I'm just going to press on.
I've always been mystified why people, when they make New Year's resolutions, once they break it once, they're kind of like, well, that's it for this year. I'll just wait until next year. You know, I think it kind of feeds into the whole concept of God's grace. This morning at church, we're talking about how Jesus said, you know, if someone sins against you, you know, forgive them 70 times, 7 times. And, you know, I think, you know, if you don't mind me stretching the application of that verse, it could apply to the whole idea of setting goals or resolutions. If you failed your resolution, you can try again 70 times, 7 times.
Exactly.
And, you know, as far as God goes, that's perfectly all right, because he'll forgive all those previous failures like they never happened. Sometimes we're our own worst critics, wouldn't you say?
I would totally agree.
Well, Joanne, thank you so much for sharing that opinion with us, and I hope that you have some encouragement and accountability and that you achieve all your goals for 2007.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for sharing, Joanne. You have a shway evening, all right?
You too.
All right. 505-338-5790 if you want to jump in and share your opinion on the whole concept of New Year's resolutions. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Should we do it as a Christian? Should we not make New Year's resolutions as a Christian? Let me know what you think. 505-338-5790 to share your opinion on New Year's resolutions. Now, the reason I bring up this whole idea of maybe we shouldn't as Christians, and again, some people might see this as a stretch of application of Scripture, but I think sometimes we can apply Scriptures in somewhat non-traditional ways. I know that this particular Scripture that I'm about to share isn't often used when it comes in conjunction to New Year's resolutions, but I'll explain why I think it's applicable here in just a moment. Matthew 5:33-37, Jesus is talking, and he says, Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, when I look at that verse and I think about New Year's resolution, I think about something that is very simple and yet not very common anymore in today's word. The simple idea of keeping your word, be it a promise, be it an oath, be it a resolution, being it just doing what you said that you were going to do, keeping our word is not such a big deal anymore. You know, you watch some of the old westerns, and I know it's Hollywood, but still, you know, some of those old pictures were a reflection of the times, and it was a big deal to keep your word. To be a man of your word was a very big deal. To be a woman of your word was a very big deal. It said a lot about your character. To have people say, you know, when that person says they're going to do something, you can know without a shadow of doubt. They don't have to make a promise. They don't have to swear by this, that, or anything. If they just simply said they're going to do something, you can be sure they're going to do it. I think it's the concept that Jesus is trying to get to here, that, you know, especially as Christians, as children of the King of Kings, if we're going to say that we're going to do something, it should be expected of us, of our character, that we're just going to follow through and do that. Think about it. When has God ever said he was going to do something that he hasn't done? When did Jesus ever say that he was going to do something that he didn't do? Even if it was simply in passing. I mean, you know, not making some great big scheme, a covenant, an oath, whatever you want to call it. Just saying that he was going to do something, always following through. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, always follow through on the things that they say that they're going to do. Well, if we're the children of the King of Kings, if we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, then we should reflect that character. If we say we're going to do something, well, we should just do it without necessarily having to make a resolution or an oath or a promise or a vow or anything. We should just be people of our word. And so when I think of that scripture and I think about New Year's resolution, I always come back to the idea, you know what? Yeah, it's good to set goals. It's good to say that you're going to do this, that, or the other thing. I know personally I should be someone that should set more goals. Going back to the concept of change isn't always comfortable, and I'm a very routine type person, but still, you know, the idea of if I'm going to say that I'm going to change something, if I'm going to say that I'm going to read God's word more, if I'm going to say I'm going to do better at my quiet time or any of those things, especially if it comes to anything that has to do with our relationship with God. If we say we're going to pray more, read the Bible more, do more quiet time, participate in worship, anything along those lines, even if we're just making them as a New Year's resolution, I think we should take extremely seriously. I remember once I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 23, and I came across a verse that just blew me away. It said, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin." Now, when I read that verse, I got really nervous about ever making any sort of promise, vow, bargain, resolution pertaining to my walk with God. Why? Because, like we've talked about with resolutions, I was afraid of failure. It's like, man, I don't want to do this lightly. And a lot of times as Christians, we can kind of blithely say, oh yeah, I'm going to read the Bible more. Oh, I'm going to resolve to pray more. We're going to do something. Because, you know, I think it's spiritual peer pressure. You know, we want to sound good to our fellow Christians. Oh, if I say this, they'll be impressed and they'll think, oh yeah, he's going to be much more spiritual in the coming year. That's good. But really, if you think about it, what relationship does that vague promise that you made really affect? Well, if you're talking about Bible reading, prayer time, quiet time, worship, the only relationship that's really going to affect is your relationship with God. Yeah, it might impress someone, but that's really not what it's about. What you're saying is, oh, I'm going to have a better relationship with God. But if the only reason you're doing that is to impress other people, well, you're making a vague promise, a empty promise to God, and that's something that we should take a little bit more serious, especially around the new year, because a lot of people want to improve spiritually in the new year. I'm no different. I would like to improve spiritually, but I'm certainly not going to just say something that I don't really have an intention of following through on. We'll come back to that thought here in just a moment. We have Kelvin on the line. Kelvin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think that New Year's resolutions are just ridiculous.
Okay, why?
In fact, you know, I've only made one New Year's resolution in my life. It was a couple years ago. And that was to not make resolutions anymore.
So I take it you've kept that one so far?
Yes, actually.
Oh, all right, way to go. Is there any really specific reason that you just don't like New Year's resolutions?
Well, it's just that I think it's kind of weird that, you know, suddenly, oh, yay, it's a new year, we're going to be completely better, the old year is completely sorrow-filled, and this year is going to be completely happy. I think it's, you know, giving yourself false hope, because saying, you don't know what's going to come out of the next year, you know? Usually it turns out worse than the last year.
Well, that's kind of a cynical view to take, but certainly can turn out that way. But I hear what you're saying so far as always thinking the new year is always going to be better than the last year. What are some ways do you think that we could kind of get around that instead of having false hope?
I think that focus on the now instead of the later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you guys have been saying, change not just on the new year, but, you know, constantly try to better yourself.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
Well, I think that's good advice. Kelvin, thanks so much for joining us tonight and adding your opinion to Raw Talk. I appreciate it.
Indeed.
All right. You have a happy new year, Kelvin.
All right. Bye.
All right. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing. If you read my blog that I actually post on M88's MySpace page, I talk a little bit about the whole idea of the concept that New Year's always going to be better. And yet, that's not always the case. I don't know if anyone saw Rocky Balboa. Did you see Rocky Balboa, Steve Madrid?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, there was something in that movie that kind of struck me that just seemed so perfect for this idea of the new year, especially when it comes to thinking that it's always going to be better. And, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinking that things are going to be better in the new year because it's good to have hope. But something that Rocky said, and I just quoted Jesus, and now I'm quoting Rocky. Anyway, something that Rocky said in his latest movie, his last movie, apparently, Rocky Balboa, he said it's not so much about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And if there's anything that we need to resolve in the new year is we need to resolve to keep moving forward regardless of the hits that we are going to take. Because the fact of the matter is life is hard. The Bible even tells us to be aware that we'll be persecuted and that we'll be downtrodden and all those things that it talks about. It's going to happen. Life is just difficult. And as we get closer to the end times, life is going to get more difficult. It's going to be more challenging as the darkness grows as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. But it isn't so much about that. It's about how hard can we get hit and keep moving forward, keep changing on a daily basis, keep trying to become more and more like Christ, not on a yearly basis, but on a daily basis. And one of the best ways to fulfill that little saying of Rocky's is to find something that will inspire you and give you strength. Now, some people find the movie Rocky very inspiring and so on and so forth. Oh, that's a figure that gives me inspiration to, you know, be strong and take those hits. Well, you know what? Rocky is just a fictional person. Not just a person. He's a fictional person. And people are going to let you down. If you really want to find an inspiration and a source of strength that will help you in the new year to take those hits and keep moving forward, the only one that won't let you down is Jesus Christ. He's the only inspiration that will never fade. He's the only person that will never let you down. And he's the only hope that will never disappoint. And when I saw that movie and I was thinking about this whole New Year's thing, that's what really resonated with me. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to be silly and expect the new year to be completely free of bad stuff. What I am going to expect is that because I have Jesus Christ in my life, because he is my inspiration, my source of strength, and my source of hope, that no matter what hits I may take in the new year, I will have the strength, the inspiration, and the power to keep moving forward. And so I got some inspiration from a movie about a 60-year-old boxer. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to dive in on the conversation here in the last few minutes and share your opinion about New Year's resolutions, should we make them? Should we not? How are resolutions like a promise or an oath? You know, I was going back to Deuteronomy and saying that if we make a vow to the Lord, we better make sure that we keep it. And some people might think, well, a resolution really isn't a vow. And that's true, but still, it's the same concept. You're making a statement that you want to intend to do something, that you want to change something. And it may not have the same weight as a vow or an oath or a promise, but I think you could group it in that same category. And yet, like I said, it's something that we don't really follow through on, keeping our word. I know a lot of people, and I almost feel bad. You know, I don't tell them this, so I'm not going to name names. I almost feel bad, but there's some people in my life who, when they say that they're going to do something, I just don't count on them doing it. Why? Because so often they don't. And I've gotten to the point where when they say they're going to do something, I just, well, okay, that's good. I'm glad you said that. And I don't really expect them to follow through on it. And as a Christian, that's not the type of person I want to be. If I say I'm going to do something, I want to follow through on it. And especially if I say I'm going to do something for God, whatever it may be. Pray more, be a better light in the workplace, be a better light in school, be a better father, be a better husband. All those things have connections that tie us back to our relationship with God. And if I'm going to say anything about improving my life for God, that's something I want to make real sure that I'm going to follow up on. Another verse that always comes to mind when it comes to this, Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must do everything he said. And again, this whole concept of oaths is something that God takes very seriously. And then you go, you know, Jesus, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. But again, the concept is, let's take this very serious. If we're going to say we're going to do something, let's make sure that we follow up and do that. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to add in your opinion on this whole concept of New Year's resolutions. Should we make them? Should we not make them? If we do make them, how can we keep them? And we'd love to hear from you as we wrap things up. We've got about another 10 minutes before we get to the end of the program. So 505-338-5790 if you would like to add your two cents in on this whole concept of keeping or not even making New Year's resolutions. What do you think, Steve Madrid? Do you think this whole resolution thing can be pretty similar to making a promise or whatnot?
I think it can, but, you know, I think if you're going to make a resolution, mm-hmm. just do it, like, besides New Year's. Like, don't say that it's a New Year's resolution because, like, we celebrate New Year's, we celebrate different holidays, and only in that season do we celebrate the holiday. It's like the same thing as giving Thanksgiving. It's like if you say you're just going to give Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving, then it passes with the season. But if you say, I'm going to give Thanksgiving all year, then that's different. I think if you're going to make a change in your life, don't call it a New Year's resolution because that fades quick.
That's very good advice. You know, what's interesting, you know where the April Fool's Day came from, don't you?
No, I don't.
This does relate, I promise. April Fool's Day, you know, it was Julius Caesar, I believe. Anyway, one of the Caesars, I think it was Julius. When he created the Julian calendar, he switched the New Year's Day back to January 1st. Well, traditionally, it was celebrated on April 1st. Mm. And some people didn't like that change. Oh, you can't change it to January 1st. That just messes everything up. And so they continued to celebrate New Year's on April 1st. And so these people who continued to stubbornly celebrate April 1st as the new year instead of January 1st were often called fools.
Hmm.
And hence the origin of April Fool's Day.
That's good.
Thank you. Another interesting tidbit on that, when they decided to revert back to January 1st being the beginning of the new year, a 365-day Julian calendar, the year that they made that switch, in order to make sure everything lined up properly, I don't know the math. I didn't do very well in math. Anyway, they had to extend a year to 445 days in order to get that calendar all right when they decided to make January 1st the new year and go with 365 year.
So if you play April Fool's joke, that's pretty much unchristian-like because you're lying. Is that what you're trying to say, yo?
Well, that's not what I'm trying to say. Don't put words in my mouth. But that's something that you could certainly, you know, you could say
it
that way.
We'll tackle that in April.
Huh? Yeah, we'll get to that in April for sure. Anyway, my encouragement to everyone tonight is if you're going to make a resolution, and again, you know, as Christians, we so often try to sound very spiritual when we make our resolutions, and that's not a bad thing. It's good to improve ourselves for the sake of God's kingdom. In fact, it's very noble to do that. But if we're going to say we're going to do anything, then let's make sure that we follow through on it. And, you know, here's another thought. Have you ever noticed that, you know, we read that top 10 list at the beginning of the program, things that people resolve to do. There's nothing spiritual or biblical on that top 10 list of people's resolutions. And here's my theory. The reason why reading the Bible more, praying more, worshiping more, any of those things, you know, isn't necessarily among the top resolutions that people make is because people already know that they're going to fail and or they don't want to really take it seriously. And if you make a resolution that involves anything, you know, relating to God, well, then you have to take it seriously. And so that's why we make vague resolutions. Like, I remember one year I resolved to stop smoking, but I didn't smoke.
That's good.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know what? The secret to success is lowering your expectations to the point where they're already met. And there you go. And so that was a very good year for me because I kept my resolution real easy. Of course, then I realized that I was being pretty silly about the whole thing, and that's when I started thinking about it a little more seriously. So I haven't done that before, but there was one year where I actually kept my resolution to quit smoking, even though I never started.
There's one on, wasn't one of them to quit drinking alcohol?
I never had that resolution because
well, that was on the top 10, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about me. It's like, Steve Madrid, what are you trying to apply right here on the air? What are people going to think of me?
No, you brought up the one about smoking, and one of the top 10 was quitting drinking alcohol.
Yeah, quitting drinking was number four.
Do you think that that's really a New Year's resolution, or do you think they just had a little bit too much fun on New Year's Eve night?
Well, I think what happens is people feel so bad the next morning. You know, New Year's Eve, oh, yeah, it's fine. And then New Year's Day, when they all wake up with a hangover, oh, I'm going to resolve not to do that anymore. Of course, then when New Year's Eve rolls around again, hey, that's all right. I made it the whole year. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't really say. The whole drinking phenomenon is not something that ever clicked in my brain. I never saw why it was cool and or fun. And so that was a resolution I never had to struggle with. Gratefully, fortunately, in my life.
Yep. That's good.
New Year's resolutions. I hope that your new year, whether you made resolutions or not, I hope that 2007 is a year that, you will grow in your relationship with our God and Savior, and B, will be one that you spread your knowledge of your God and Savior to everyone that you meet. I hope that you search after God with all your heart, seek Him first, and you know we all want prosperity and all health and all that good stuff in the new year. And the Bible says if we seek God first, you know those things will come. Maybe not necessarily in the form that we're expecting. I'm not saying anyone's going to get a mansion or never be sick or anything like that. But I can promise that God will be faithful in 2007, especially if we're faithful to Him in the year 2007. And that's probably the best resolution anyone can make, is to be faithful to God, in the year that comes, in the year that passed, on a daily basis, from week to week, from month to month. And I hope that's something that God puts on your heart. And as we go through 2007 here on this program, Raw Talk, as you know, our goal is to challenge you, to encourage you, and most of all, to get you to think. And I hope that we'll have many thought-provoking discussions and topics and, I don't want to say arguments, but that might happen. But even, you know, if we disagree, we can still be friends. We can agree to disagree. And part of disagreement is growth. Like I said, change can be uncomfortable, and changing the way you think about things can be uncomfortable. And who knows, we may get to some topics this year that will challenge the way you think about things. Most important thing is to know why you believe what you believe. And that's what we want to challenge you to do here in 2007 on Raw Talk. Again, if you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss, please drop an email, studio@m88.org. We'd love to have your suggestions. Do you have any suggestions for 2007, Madrid?
What about...
I put you totally on the spot there. You didn't have anything prepared, did you?
What about something to do with the workplace?
With the workplace?
Yeah, if you have, you know, maybe a boss that's not Christian, and, you know, maybe persecution through that, or there's just a lot of different situations being, you know, having a secular job where you're faced with challenges, where you can't share your faith, or, you know, maybe something like that.
Could do that. I worked in a non-Christian environment for a lot of years. And it was always interesting because people always pegged me as a Christian. And then it was like I was some guru sitting on top of a mountain, and people always come to me with the oddest questions. Why? And I'd ask them, why? Why are you asking me this? You're the Christian, aren't you? I'm the Christian. I'm the only one here. All right, fine. I'll try and answer your question. So,
And I've noticed in a non-Christian workplace, they'll kind of look at you like, you know, if you didn't do your job exactly 100% perfect, they'll be like, well, aren't you Christian?
Yeah. That's so Christian? True. All right. I can see there's some merit to this idea. We'll pursue that. And maybe we can make a whole program out of it. Run with it, Madrid.
All right.
Put it together.
Oh, did we already talk about tipping?
Tipping?
Tipping.
Like, oh, yeah. We talked about tipping on, when did we talk about that? End of last year.
Was that a whole show?
It was almost a whole show.
Oh, wow. Whole show on tipping. All right. We'll wait another year for that one.
Next week, we're going to talk about the church. What is the purpose of the church? Should it be all super seeker friendly? Let's make everyone feel as comfortable as possible and give them lattes and have fancy screens and bookstores so it feels like they're coming to a mall for church because that's what makes people comfortable. Or should we be pretty hardcore, teach the Bible, teach exactly what the Bible says and nothing but what the Bible says, and not be concerned about being super seeker friendly? Or should we just stay at home? Which is something that has become a new movement here in the 21st century. So we'll talk about the church. What is the purpose, the function, and the reason for the church? And we'll dive into that next week on Raw Talk. Also coming up this month, we'll talk about Christians and humor. Why Christians aren't funny, or why we think we're not supposed to be funny. Not everyone thinks that. Joey doesn't think that, but some people think that. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll take your suggestions as well. Studio at M88.org if you have a suggestion for Rot Talk. Thank you, everyone who called in tonight as we discussed New Year's resolutions. And I appreciate everyone who participates and listens to this program. Hopefully we'll have a great year together. Rot Talk right here on M88.